up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 101, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that obviously helps the podcast and gives us a little kickback so we can keep on doing this every week. With me, as always, is Derek. What's going on, Derek?
Oh, not much. How you doing, Bob?
You know, it's Monday. We're doing this podcast a day
late,
A little different, but it means we have a little bit more news, which is good. Some cool stuff came out today that we're definitely going to talk about. So yeah, man, it's just Monday, start of the week. You know, I always feel more energized on Monday because I'm like pumped to get my week started. I know that's different from a lot of people. A lot of people dread Monday, but I kind of like Monday. So
yeah, I was pretty tired today.
Yeah. So and I'm sure it looked like it was nice out your way, and it was nice around here. So obviously, going back to work after like having a really nice weekend is never fun either. So
right,
yeah. So, but let's just get started on our reviews this week. And we have two really cool products, and Derek took a look at one, and his was the Cherry MX Board Silent, which is a keyboard from Cherry.
Yeah. So it's the MX Board Silent, or it's also known as, where is it at, the G83-3000. It's a kind of a remake of a board that it was explained to me that it's a remake of an older board, and it's totally an old school design and aesthetic, but I couldn't actually find the board that this would have been made after.
Okay.
So it is or it isn't, but it's definitely still that old like IBM beige keyboard design that that super nostalgic look that, the keyboard that would come with your computer that nobody thought much about, but they were actually pretty solid keyboards.
Yes.
But they're not the greatest keyboards in the world as far as the technology. So what you get with this is you get that old school look with the a new school, brand new hardware in there. So you've got Cherry's brand new MX Silent switches in there, which this one's a red. It's a red switch that's had the extra dampers put into it so that it doesn't make the same click noise. So you don't get that clack that you normally get with a mechanical switch, but it is still a full mechanical switch. It still has the full travel.
It seemed like it still had some noise to it.
It's a bit of noise. I mean, I got it right here.
It's much better. Like, I can tell that is much better than the keyboard that you were using previously on the podcast. But yeah, now as far as comfort and all that, I mean, it's very comfortable to use.
Yeah, I mean, it's the spacing is kind of wide because if you think back to those old keyboards, they were pretty big keyboards.
Yeah.
So the spacing is kind of wide, but you get used to it pretty quick. It's a wedge, and it's got a pretty decent angle to it. So if you don't like an angled keyboard, you'd probably want to stay away from this. I prefer more of a flat keyboard myself.
Okay.
This one, that you can adjust it further up, but no matter what, it's got a pretty decent wedge shape to it.
Okay. And as far as obviously new features that we're used to on keyboards, this really doesn't have any of that.
It doesn't have anything, no, other than some LEDs for your numlocks locks and caps locks.
Yeah. So no backlighting. There's no programmable keys. There's no macro keys.
No. You do get 14 key and key rollover, so
okay.
you're definitely not going to ghost with this thing.
Yeah.
Which I did try that out in game. It doesn't miss anything, but it's definitely not a gamer's keyboard. I didn't hate it, but it's just, it doesn't quite have that. I don't know. I don't know if it's simply the dampened keys where the actuation, you don't feel the actuation as much. You do, but you don't.
Yeah. Right?
It's muted just the same as the keys themselves are as far as noise. So when I'm gaming, you can kind of half press and then press further, and you feel that with a mechanical board,
and for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
it's a good keyboard. It's no doubt it's a good keyboard, but
this would be more of a typist or somebody who wants that kind of old school feel. It doesn't really care about gaming. Doesn't care about backlighting, that type of thing.
Somebody in an office I could see using this.
Yeah, but it's $150. That's
And it's not really even available if you search around. The only place to find this thing is on a third party sketchy retailer. Maybe overseas it's more readily available, but I really had a hard time finding even pricing on it to get the actual price, but it is, their recommended price is $150, so that's way too high in my opinion, because you just don't get the features with it. Yeah, because you can get
pretty much the highest end gaming keyboard, from the big guys like Razer and Corsair for around that price.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so that's kind of a,
I mean, Cherry makes a better product, I would say.
Yes, I would agree.
Not this, necessarily.
Yeah. Because I took a look at their MX Board 6.0, and that's kind of like the gaming one, and I was incredibly impressed. And it holds a very high price tag as well, but it's, the build quality is much better than anybody else out there.
And with Cherry being the Switch manufacturer as well as the board manufacturer, I mean, they just do a better job throughout it, I think, as far as the connections go and stuff. But I was at a Cherry press conference a couple of years ago at CES, and some of the tech that they just put into just the connections inside the board, they're not cutting corners anywhere. I can definitely say that.
Oh, that's good. That's cool. I think, you know, so many of us PC users do like that nostalgia, and we remember.
It's totally cool. It's super cool. There's no doubt.
And it's good to have the newer tech in an old school looking keyboard, because like obviously nobody wants to plug in an old PS2 keyboard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Definitely not. Response so that's time, cool. Everything would be down.
Yeah, so that's really cool. If you're looking to spend the money and you can find it on a non shady site,
Go for it.
It's cool to see a company do something like that, because again, I do feel there's a good amount of people who do have that kind of nostalgia.
I totally think there's a market for it.
Yeah. I'm part of a Facebook group, if you guys want to search it. It's called, it's called Retro Machines or something like that. And it's just all PC enthusiasts who post like old pictures of old hardware they have or like stuff like that. And everybody posts old keyboards, old like Pentium 2s, like all kinds of crazy stuff. So, there's definitely a lot of guys in that group would definitely like that. So moving on, I took a look at a memory kit this week, and it is from Corsair, and it is their Vengeance LED DDR4 kit. So these came out a while ago. They just released a couple weeks ago their Vengeance RGBs, but these ones are pretty much the same memory, except for the light bar is just a single color. It's not RGB. So I have this is the white version, and this is the DDR 3200 32 gigabyte memory kit. So that's 4x 8 gigabyte kit. Nice. Which is really awesome. Performs really well. It's very well built. The biggest thing with I noticed with some RAM I tested a few weeks back is that a lot of these companies who make memory, their heat spreader design is just very flimsy and not good. This is put together extremely well, as most Corsair memory is in my testing and everything. I mean, Corsair is pretty much one of the number one brands out there. This does also, it overclocks pretty well, not as good as the Dominator Platinum that I took a look at recently. That overclocked like crazy. This still overclocks, but just not as much. There's different ICs in this memory compared to that one, but of course
definitely not Dominator memory.
The big selling point of this memory is obviously the light bar. I mean, you're getting good Corsair quality memory, you should know that if you're buying a Corsair product. But the big selling point of this is the light bar. And the light bar pretty much goes across the entire top. And then at the center, it's covered by a Corsair logo. But it's a really cool look. And you can actually control the light bars with Corsair's Link software. And you can do different things. You can dim it. You can set the brightness. You can have them go up or down, like one, you know, as they turn off, you can make it go up the row, down the row, you can have them pulse in and out at the same time. It's pretty cool. I'm sure
everything but change color.
Yeah, and I'm sure they have expanded that functionality with their RGB version of this as well. But the normal LED versions come in white, red, and blue. So if you don't care about RGBs, it's a viable option to get, I think. And it just having those lights on your memory just adds so much more to your build. It just makes it stand out. Obviously, it's more light inside your case as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, well, white's really the only color you should use for LEDs anyway, so you're good to go.
Yeah, This kid is a little expensive. I think memory in general is pretty high right now.
Yeah.
We talked about that months ago, that we're going to have some higher prices on memory as well as SSDs currently. So this kit, did I not put the price in the review?
I don't see it, but
it's high. It's like,
it was like $350, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's very high. I don't know why I didn't put the review. That's weird. Because it's just one of those days. But no, it is very high right now. But again, I would say Corsair is like buying like a Ferrari of memory. I would say, you know, it's the one of the top brands that you can buy out there.
And, yeah, it's really interesting though, because I mean, I remember buying Vengeance memory for DDR3 memory, and it was probably like $70 for the kit.
Yeah,
this is pretty crazy. I mean, it was an LED; they didn't do that yet. But
yeah, you know, and it was this still is a
Vengeance series.
This is a 32 gigabyte kit, so you know most people would go. Most people would go for the 16 gig kit right now, you know. Yeah. But yeah, memory's 16. Just you know, memory's just high right now, and it's just something, you know, you're gonna have to deal with if you're building a new system.
DDR4 32 gig kit that's a pretty luxurious item.
Yeah, sure, I'm trying to find the 16 gig kit is $159, and then the 32 gig kit at $3,200. Is $319.
Yeah.
So,
it's a significant item.
Yeah. So, but if
let's say you didn't have the 320 bones, what could you do to get your hands on some Corsair Vengeance memory?
Well, we are giving away a kit. Had sent us two kits. So, we announced it today, actually, that you can win the exact same kit we tested. Or not the exact one, because obviously the one we tested we are keeping. But we have another one that's brand new, never opened, never tested. So this is just like you would get it from the store. And we're giving it away. And it's pretty easy to enter. There's actually a bunch of different ways you can enter. We require you to have Twitter and retweet something, and we require you to have YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel. But then after that, there's other ways that you can enter, and that I'm looking at right now, we have 634 entries. So this is a lot of entries into this contest as well. So you can have up to, I think, 10 entries per person or something like that by doing these various things that we want you to do to enter.
Nice.
So, you know, get your entry in. It's really easy to enter. We're using this service called Gleam, that they do contests and stuff, and we're running it all through them. It's really easy to do, and we're running it. It's 30 days, so it will end on the just about 30 days. It's going to end the 20th of June. So yeah, get your entry in, and you know, it would get you some new memory for your system.
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna head right over.
Yeah, and I believe these kits have been verified to work on Ryzen. I haven't tested them, so. But if they're not, you can still get the kit, and then if you can't use it on Ryzen, you can sell it and get a kit that will work for you.
Yeah, I'm sure you shouldn't have any trouble selling this for a decent amount if you choose.
Yes, so definitely. Like I said, every time we get something, we want to help you guys out. Obviously, we appreciate you guys visiting the site and being part of our community, so we definitely wanted to give back, and this is a pretty big way to give back to you guys, I think. So yeah, pretty pumped about that. We'll be reposting this. We posted it today on our social media, but we'll be reposting it throughout the contest duration. So if you missed it, we'll obviously have it in our show notes as well, the link, so you guys can get your entry in. So yeah. And we were gonna talk about Case Mod Friday.
We should do that.
Yeah, we skipped the story. As I always say, Case Mod Friday, one of my favorite parts of Think Computers, and that's where we feature a builder mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a really interesting build from the guys at NGen PCs. They do custom PC work, and they've done this is we've never had a build inside of this case, which I liked, and it's such a small form factor build with immense water cooling. It's called the build's called the BH4. Because it's done in the Case Labs Bullet BH4 case, which is a small form factor case. And it's pretty interesting. It's there's so much water cooling in there, and they fit a full Titan X in there.
Yeah, it might be small form factor, but they've definitely gone full size build inside it.
Yeah, and they've actually taken the water cooling outside the back of the case as well, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, normally I hate this.
That makes it very dangerous. Well,
normally, yeah. Yes, but normally it's done to run it to a reservoir or an external radiator, and I can't stand that.
Yeah, so basically...
normally, yeah, it's just you just shoot the tubes through the pass-throughs that are cut in the case.
Yeah.
But in this case, they actually did hard tubing, so they used the fittings for the hard tubing and made ports on the back of it, and it actually looks pretty professional.
Yeah, and if you look at the opposite side, there's also another window, and you can see the two pumps as well as the little reservoirs back there. It's a lot of water cooling that's inside, pretty much all inside this small form factor case, which is really cool.
Yeah, it looks like they've got an X99 board in there.
Yes, it's the EVGA X99 micro.
So you got a full ATX board.
No, it's a micro. That's
oh, is it micro?
It's micro ATX, mini? Yes. It is micro ETX, yeah, micro. Yes.
Oh, okay. Can't see the bottom of it. I thought it might continue down there.
It's a micro ETX. I believe that's what this case supports.
Okay.
But then they obviously have changed. They have a riser card, so they can display the graphics card there, which is pretty cool.
And just fit it, probably.
Yeah, that as well. Fit a full Titan X in there.
Pretty
and
cool.
They have the Corsair Dominator memory, which obviously looks awesome. Yeah.
I like the they've got like teal LEDs in here.
Yes.
And looks like it's like a purple coolant, and the colors kind of offset really nicely in there.
Yeah,
it kind of makes the coolant look more gray, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I do like that. And it's not like super flashy, but it's like it kind of is at the same time. You know,
it's very professional.
Yeah, it's very well done. I think this is the first. This might be the first or second time we featured NGen PCs. I'm not specifically sure, but we posted it today on Instagram, and they commented this was like their favorite build that they've ever done. So
nice.
So it's a great build by them. They do custom PC work. If you're not into building your own PC and you want something that looks awesome, definitely check them out. We have their Facebook linked in the post, so you can check that out for sure.
Nice. I like a little touch on the, if you look at the back of the case with the two reservoirs, they actually have a pass through built into the window, it looks like, with an EK stopper in there.
So that's the drain fill?
Yeah, it looks like, I would guess the fill. Yeah, you could drain as well, yeah. But okay, cool. I would say that's definitely their fill spot, because I don't see them getting into the top of those reservoirs anyway, not with the way they're built right up into the top.
Yeah, awesome. Good. So, see, obviously Derek knows more about water cooling than I do, but that's awesome. That's just like I said, this is just really done nice. It's just like one of those super clean builds, and it's just impressive how much is inside of this as well.
Yeah,
water cooling wise, it's just a lot. So yeah, really really cool. Definitely check it out. As I always say, we have a full section of case mods that you can always check out. You know, check out the Case Mod Friday section of the site. We have a ton there. And that will bring us to news. And as with the past 2 months, we have a lot of AMD news.
Yeah, if you are not a fan of Team Red, you can tune out for probably the next 45 minutes.
I wouldn't say 45, but at least 20 minutes. But we have some different stuff with AMD. We'll start with Vega. And there was a leak that apparently leaked the entire Vega lineup. So as we talked about before, there seems to be that there's going to be three Vega cards.
Yeah.
And that will compete the 1070, 1080, and then 1080 Ti/Titan. We have names or supposed names for these. The first one is the RX Vega Core, which kind of makes sense given that this is like would be like the core card, or like the 1070 is like the card that will get you everything that you need, but without going completely overboard. this will be $399, and that price is a little bit higher currently than the GTX 1070. And what that means is that it should have higher performance. In the leaked benchmarks we talked about last week, it did have higher benchmarks than the 1070. Also, being at the $399 price point, that means that we could also see a Vega-based card a little bit lower, maybe at $329. That might come later. That you usually do that, does.
Because usually they like to put their rebrands in there at those price points.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'm not sure. But
it's really odd, isn't it? You know, as time goes on, we have, like, the mainstream launch, and then we have the rebrand launch. And they kind of alternate. Versus NVIDIA always releases a whole series at once. It kind of, like, screws up the lifespan or the life cycle of anybody that's, like, going to be upgrading. Because, you know, you kind of assume that everybody's going to try to buy the bigger, faster card eventually, you know?
Yeah, I think that AMD, obviously with the with Polaris, they kind of just, not shit the bed, but they well, just I were mean, like,
always,
we can't,
they always do.
We can't compete at the high end, right?
Yeah.
And they have Polaris, which obviously isn't a competitor, so they had to rebrand it for the 580 series, you know, the 500 series.
Yeah.
Maybe this will be that we'll have a new architecture every year, or you know what I mean, instead of a rebrand, but it just doesn't seem like it. But yeah,
it just doesn't seem like it like happened. I don't know. It's just an odd to me. It's just odd to me. Like, maybe it works for people that are on kind of in the Radeon family upgrade cycle, but like it breaks things apart, you know, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, it totally does. And the thing is about it is too, is that the rebrands aren't great.
They're terrible.
It's
I think the worst investment you can make is buying one of the rebrands.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know.
Not that a graphics card is really an investment, but
yeah, I mean, for some people it is. Some people it definitely is. Yeah. You know, so I think that maybe especially, you know, we talked about this for the past month or something too, is that everything seems to be speeding up. We're getting these products, not only graphics cards, but processors and things a lot faster now. So maybe we'll see an accelerated growth or whatever, and that
yeah.
We could just see a new architecture every year, which would be cool, you know, but who knows? I think that's I think Vega's going to be big for AMD. It's going to compete, or at least try to, which is nice to see, because again, 400 series didn't compete with NVIDIA on the high end. You know what I mean?
No.
Not
at all. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's good that they have something to compete with for a little while, but I feel like it's going to be just like Fury.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So. But on from the core, we have the RX Vega Eclipse, which will be $499. And it's going to go head-to-head with a 1080. And should actually be cheaper than most of the add-in board versions of the GTX 1080. And then finally, we'll have the RX Vega Nova, which will be $599, which is $100 cheaper than GTX 1080 Ti, and it should compete directly with it. I don't know if it's going to be better or a little bit worse. Not sure. But that should be the lineup. But one thing I like about this lineup is there's no numbers.
Yeah.
It's like we know, okay, the Vega Core, know what it is. The Eclipse, yeah. You know what it is. The Nova, we know what it is. It just makes it so much easier to identify the different levels that these products are at.
Yeah. And it's not just copying NVIDIA's naming scheme, so.
Yes.
That helps.
And another thing that to mention is the Vega Nova $599. That still leaves room for a dual GPU card from AMD. Don't know if we'll see it. Don't know if we'll ever see another dual GPU solution. AMD still has pushed for that more than NVIDIA has. So we'll see.
We did see the photos, or were those renders? I don't remember. Last week of the cooling solution.
Yeah.
On a dual GPU. So.
Yeah.
I think it could be.
We shall see.
Yeah, they gotta have something, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that they push a lot for the content creation and the application where the dual GPU is necessary, because honestly, for gaming, it's not.
I don't know. Depends.
Yeah. For most people, it's not. Yeah.
But, I mean, they know that when they're going into building a card at that level, though, that it's not going to have huge sales, but it's bragging rights. And
True. It's PR. It's bragging rights. Yeah. So, talking about Vega, AMD had their financial analyst day, and that brought a lot of different announcements. We'll just cover the main ones. They announced Vega. Announced. But it's not the consumer version. So they announced the Radeon Vega Frontier Edition, which is it's part of the Radeon Pro line, which is aimed at data scientists, immersion engineers, and product designers. It will be released in the second half of June. So this could mean, you know, AMD had said that we will see Vega in the second half of 2017. This could be the Vega that they were talking about. This might not be the actual consumer version. Being available, they said it will be available in the second half, so this could be the version that's available, and then we'll see a consumer version later. But one thing I have to say, I like these colors.
It's a good looking card.
So the card itself has that typical blower style fan that we're used to seeing, with a shroud that covers the entire thing, but the entire shroud is blue.
And it's brushed aluminum.
Yeah, it looks like to be brushed aluminum. And then you have a Vega logo on the bottom, a Radeon logo on the side, and then also a 3D cube that lights up that has R's on it.
It's pretty cool.
And the Radeon logo lights up as well.
Yeah.
And the
Vega wings.
Yeah, that's what I said, the Vega logo.
Yeah.
They're going to have a liquid cold version that has a brushed gold aluminum shroud.
Oh, and a backplate. Don't forget that there's a
backplate. Yeah, both cards have the backplate as well. Mm-hmm. It looks cool.
I actually like the backplate too. It's got venting, and pretty much a hole cut out for the backplate for the block to hold it over the processor. It's a cool looking backplate.
Yeah, it's a good looking card. Again, sadly, this is for the professional market. It's not for gamers. But just to go over it, it is let me find the info here. So, it comes as 16 gigabytes of Derek's favorite HBM2. Yes. Which will give you 12.5 teraflops of performance. That's compared to the only 12 of the Titan XP.
Is the Titan XP really its competitor, though?
That's what I'm wondering.
It's not. This would be more online with NVIDIA's...
The Quadro cards.
Yeah. I guess you'd have to see pricing on this.
Yeah.
Because, the Quadro cards are like, $3,000 and $4,000.
Yeah.
So... this might be an in-between card. If it is aimed at the Titan XP, then maybe this works.
Yeah, well, the thing that's interesting is in their comparison graphs, they compared it to their Fury X.
Which is dumb.
Yeah.
That's a pretty much a worthless graph.
Yeah. I feel. Like. Yeah, so that's kind of, but the good thing is that we do have the announcement, and we do have a real product. Will be available. Like we talked about with NVIDIA last week, I mean, with the with Volta, it's a real product that will lead to consumer products, right?
It'll filter down eventually.
Yeah. So, but I do think the colors that are on the corner looks cool. But this is at stock. It's a dual 8-pin card, which makes I believe it's not as power efficient maybe as Nvidia. I don't know what's on the
Well, which Titan XP?
Yeah, is it dual 8 pin or is it an 8 and 6?
Yeah, I think it is dual 8 pin.
Okay.
Let me check though. Oh no, it's an 8 and a 6.
Yeah, so you have dual 8 pins on this. You know, so that's Bummer. That's another thing that we know AMD for is that their graphics cards are very power hungry. As well as very hot. So, yeah.
But this is a new generation, Bob.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. Yeah, so that was announced. The other big thing that was announced is they said for sure that we will see their Threadripper CPUs in the summer of 2017. When that is, probably late summer, I'm guessing. But this is the high-end desktop version of Ryzen. So this is not Naples. This is not the like enterprise server chips. This is the high-end desktop 16-core, 32-thread parts that people are waiting for. They really want this. And because it's going to compete directly even more so than... Yeah. Because the Ryzen CPUs that came out, they did sort of compete with Intel's high-end desktop parts, but this will be even more. I mean, you're getting even more cores, even more threads, you know.
It should be a much... it's obviously more heavily threaded than the 1800X, but what much more thread friendly? I don't know what you use
it's to describe that exactly. Yeah, it's a totally different chipset, I believe, as well. Yeah. So we'll see a lot more. It's obviously the motherboards is what's going to be the selling point of a lot of these as well. So we'll see a lot of really cool stuff with that. But
it's more specifically high end desktop.
Yes, definitely more specific, especially workstation users who are using multiple GPUs, because again, Ryzen, you can't, I don't even know if there's any boards that have PLX chips that enable even more PCI Express lanes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure,
because for that you need, you know, that's where Intel takes the cake, because with their high-end desktop parts, at least most of them, you get those, what is it, 40 PCI Express lanes or something like that. You know,
yeah,
where you can do quad GPU setups for doing and coding and all those crazy things you want to do,
and have them actually scale.
Yeah, and running at their full x16 speeds, like all the stuff you'd want to do.
So they definitely, AMD definitely needs to build a purpose built chipset / board line for that purpose.
Yeah, so they're saying summer 2017. Hopefully we'll see that. A lot of people are saying we'll get this detailed at Computex, which is in almost a week from now.
Monday. We are getting there.
Yeah, so obviously stay tuned. We'll have all the news coming out of Computex, so definitely stay tuned for that, for sure. And another thing that, talking about Computex, a couple of these stories today are from Computex, is that AMD has confirmed that they will at least have a soft launch of the RX Vega Consumer Edition at Computex. So we're expecting at least an announcement of it with details and specifications, but it's not going to be immediately available after the announcement, and it could even be a while before we totally see it.
Before there's actually availability.
Yeah. Which is kind of sad. Like, it might even be one of those things a lot of people are saying that, you know, NVIDIA announces a card, it's available next week, right? Well, it's going to be like, here it is, here's all the specifications, we'll let you know when it's going to be available, or it's going to be available in a month or 2 months or something.
We totally intend to sell this to you.
Yeah. I think the holdup, I don't know what the holdup is. I don't know if they have a specific launch strategy or like it's a driver issue, which obviously we know AMD for. Like, it just seems like it's forever for this, right?
It does.
Especially with NVIDIA, you know, they started their Volta launch with the V100. You know, it's kind of getting down to the time where you need to put something out there.
Yeah, AMD really needs to get these cards out here before NVIDIA comes. Like, they definitely do not want to be, like, directly competing against NVIDIA's next line.
Yeah, they need cards. To compete. And these cards, from all that we know, are set to compete against the current generation of cards. Yeah. So if NVIDIA, so, you know, AMD takes their time with this, and then it's out for 2 or 3 weeks, and then NVIDIA has brand new cards that blow these out of the water. It's kind of like, you know.
What was the point of that?
Yeah, so.
You know, that kind of goes back to their whole, the whole release schedule. They essentially are, they're essentially competing against AMD, or NVIDIA's best cards with their rebrands, because those are the ones that launch at the same time. And then they launch their actual high-end cards when NVIDIA's cards have been out for, what is it, 6 months now?
And the thing is, the thing that, that makes this very troublesome for me is that we saw working versions of Vega at CES in January.
Yeah.
And it's going to be June here in a week.
We're almost half a year later.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal, and that's something that's kind of weird to me, because usually when you see, even if it's an early version, you're a couple months out, right? You know? It's,
I mean, there was a complete driver for it at the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was working. We saw it working.
A working driver, at least, yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen it working in other leaks and things since then. You know?
Because the hype was strong for Vega then.
Yeah. And now people are just like, well, where is it? Why isn't it here?
And why would you buy it now when NVIDIA is going to have a new card right around the corner?
Yeah. And the thing is, too, it's like, if, you know, they have this, they at least say they're going to have an announcement, and it might not be immediately available after that, then when is it going to be available? Like, people want this. Like, you know, if people do want this new card, they're going to want it. You know, not just fanboys either. I think people who want just new technology want this card, you know, or are gonna, at least they're gonna consider it, right? And I think that the longer AMD waits, it's just hurting them, you know.
Absolutely.
So I don't know what the deal is, but I guess we'll find out in, you know, next week at Computex. So
yeah.
Also talking about Computex is that Asus has teased a Ryzen based ROG laptop. So Asus's Republic of Gamers brand has been putting out laptops for a while now, and they're some of the, like, the highest end gaming laptops, obviously desktop replacements. They're not these laptops that are, you know, tons of battery life. These are desktop replacement machines. They're awesome. They released a little teaser video that says something has awakened and has, like, the Ryzen Circle logo with a laptop in the middle, and then it says, it says something big is coming your way. Can you guess what it is? Hashtag join the Republic, hashtag Computex 2017. One thing that AMD did talk about on their financial analyst day was the mobile versions of Ryzen, just the CPU, not an APU, just the CPU, which we should see very soon, and I would assume this will be one of the first laptops with a Ryzen mobile version of the CPU, which is exciting.
Very interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, because I think, one, it's lower power, which will help gamers out, and two, it is a high-performance part that we'll see in there. So I think at Computex, not only will see this laptop, whichever this is, but we'll see a lot of laptops from the big names with Ryzen parts in them.
Yeah. Do you think, given the spotty nature of gaming performance of Ryzen, that Asus possibly has built some custom drivers to try to get that
kind of possibly built up a bit, you know? I think that's...
Seems like it'd be in their interest.
Yeah, I think that they... Well, one, I think that they're going to use Ryzen anyways, just for the fact that they want to give their users an option, right? I think that, obviously, I think they work really closely with AMD to get the gamer performance as best as it can be. You know, they're not just building this without talking to AMD, right?
Oh, of course not.
You know, so... Yeah, I can't say if they're making specific drivers to make the gamer performance better, because obviously it's the CPU performance that's, you know what I mean?
But that was part of AMD's excuse for why
Yeah, I don't know if that was just an excuse to blame. Yeah. I mean, the Ryzen launch was just not good overall. BIOS is for motherboards, the microcode for the CPU. I mean, it just wasn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So hopefully this one's better. But I think, again, we'll get, you know, because if you're buying a gaming laptop the past, I don't know how many years, you're going with an i7 Intel part.
Well, yeah.
You know, there wasn't anything AMD had that could compete. You know,
you're saying the A10 wasn't up to the challenge?
It's good to see on both sides. It's going to bring a whole new wave of laptops in. And, again, based on AMD's aggressive pricing on their Ryzen parts already, we could see cheaper laptops.
That is curious, actually.
And again, these should be lower power than the Intel counterparts, so you could see better battery life on gaming laptops, which isn't super important, but sometimes it is. You know,
yeah, you could get like 45 minutes instead of 40 minutes.
Exactly.
Well, not gaming.
Yeah,
with the screen on dim.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just those are selling points, obviously. But
yeah,
it's gonna be cool to see how these mobile parts do and how they compare to Intel's mobile parts. It is a big part of their market is mobile parts on both sides, so yeah.
Yeah, I think the one of the nicest things could be that the price is lower and that this allows you to get, like, perhaps build in a better monitor or screen into this, you know?
Yeah, it's just like having the lower cost, because obviously you should be able to spec these out through ASUS website or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to your specifications. So, you know, if the CPU brings the price down, then instead of a mobile, are they mobile? I don't even know. The GTX 1070 in there, you could get a 1080 in there.
Right.
Or instead of 16 gigabytes of memory, you go up to 32. Or instead of a 1440p, yeah, you can go to a 4K screen. Like, you know what I mean? Those are at the price you want to spend. You know, if your cap is $2,000, you know, this is what you could do with it on the Intel side, this is what you could do with it on the AMD side, you know. So,
right.
So yeah, I think, like I said, I think Computex this year, we're gonna see a lot of cool stuff, not only on laptops, but a lot of stuff, which brings us into the next story.
Do we get to talk about something that's not AMD?
Yeah, so Intel is introing a new Core i series, which I think this makes a lot of sense given what AMD is doing, and given that Intel's also launching two different types of processors on the same socket in the same chipset.
Yeah.
This allows you to differentiate between the two. So Intel has had the Core i7 series for a long time, and that was for their higher end parts. But it also covered their mainstream as well as high end desktop. So,
you know, I always had a problem with this, that it was i7 no matter which you were in.
Yeah.
It made no sense to me.
Yeah, because the i7 7700K is a mainstream part, whereas yes. the i7, what is it, the I don't even know what 6950X is the high-end desktop part. So it's like, yeah, they're both the high-end parts, but it's just not the, yeah.
It's confusing.
Yeah, and especially, as I said, with Kaby Lake X and Skylake X both being on the same chipset and the same socket, it's like,
yeah.
It's very confusing, especially because, if I don't know, for some reason, you're going to buy, what is it, the 7740K that's coming out, but you're thinking you're getting a high-end desktop part, and then you go to install quad-channel memory, but it doesn't work because you have the Kaby Lake X processor instead of this. You know what I mean? It's like...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so this should help, and it's just a better way of doing it. So they're introducing the Core i9 series, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And these will include 6-core, 8-core, 10-core, and 12-core processors. Basically, I'm gonna run down the series that has been leaked from what we know. So we'll have the Core i9 7800X, which is a 6-core, Core i9 7820X, which is the 8-core, Core i9 7900X, which is the 10-core, and then the Core i9 7920X, which is the 12-core. So that's a lot of
fun. And what, you got top end speeds going from 4 up to 4.3 gigahertz, and then unknown on the last one.
Yes.
So fairly fast.
Very fast, and it's obviously with a lot of those cores, all of the cores running at that speed, that's very, very fast.
And bumped up cache amounts, too.
Yes, a lot higher cache on these as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... and these will give you... All of the Core i9 parts will give you 44 lane PCI Express lanes.
Fantastic.
So that, again, as we talked about before, the Skylake X system will give you that 3- and 4-way GPU setups for doing a true workstation in that definition of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you get a new socket now too, right?
Yeah, so it's LGA 2066. This, again, is the same socket that will be used for Kaby Lake X. So the big difference between Kaby Lake X and Skylake X is Kaby Lake X will have less PCI Express lanes and will only have dual channel DDR memory interface. So if you have a X299 motherboard that has quad channel memory, what do you want to call them? The DIM or the socket, the slots.
Yeah.
You can only install the two or four of the slots will be disabled if you're using a Kaby Lake X part. If you're using a Skylake X part, all of them will be available.
That's an interesting way to do that. Yeah. Also, you lose hyper threading on a lot of the Kaby Lake parts?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Those are it is an interesting part still, I think. A quad core part without hyper threading, that could be quite the overclocker and quite the gaming chip potentially.
Yeah, I think it's this is a different way of Intel doing things, and it has when they initially got this leak, which was maybe close to a year ago. I don't know if it maybe a year ago, but a while.
No,
ago.
No, not even really close to Ryzen launch.
That was before that.
Was it?
Yeah, it was way before the new year.
Oh, I'm thinking of the in between. Where were they? Never mind. Yeah, different parts.
Okay, but yeah, I was very surprising when I read the leak. I was like, wait, they're doing high end desktop and they're doing Kaby Lake X and Skylake X at the same time, which doesn't make sense. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's a very interesting way of doing things. I don't know how it's going to work out. And obviously,
is it too many options?
It's a lot of options, and it's like, you know, if it's just like, okay, so again, for high end desktop, we have X99 right now, and then we have Z270. If I'm buying a Z270 board, I know what I'm getting, right? Mm-hmm. I'm getting my dual channel DDR, you know, I'm getting only, you know, dual SLI, dual GPU setup. I'm not getting all the extra slots and things that I get on X99. X99, I'm getting quad GPU, I'm getting quad channel memory, I'm getting more stuff, more PCI Express lanes, so I can have U.2, I can have M.2, you know what I mean? I can have more things.
Yeah.
And with this, it's like, okay, I'm going to have this, at least from my understanding so far, is that I'm going to have the same X299 board that's expensive because it has all this stuff, but my processor that I'm getting, the 7740K, doesn't allow all these things, so why am I paying the extra money for, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't like that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know.
Boards are expensive.
Yeah, the X99 boards are expensive, and if my processor that I get doesn't enable me to run U.2 and M.2 at the same time, or have, you know, I can only have two graphics cards, but this is made for 4-way S. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's too confusing. It's like, I want a mainstream board for a mainstream part, and I want a high-end board for a high-end part. Like, it's...
Yeah.
That's confusing to me, and I just don't like it.
It's too specific.
It's too not specific.
Well, it's like, you know, it's specific in the way that, like, you have this chip, and you have to very carefully select what you're doing, because if you're not careful, you think you're getting features that the board supports, but you're not getting those with that chip.
Exactly. And Intel even did this with the last couple high end desktop launches, like I remember the 5820K was the first one. Instead of getting the 40 PCI Express lanes, you got 28.
Yeah.
With that chip, you know, so you if you wanted to do multiple GPUs, you're not going to get the full speed. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know if they're trying to say, oh, our mainstream boards have all these extra features compared to, you know, AMD. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't get it. Like, I'd rather have a mainstream chipset, mainstream board for a mainstream part. You know?
The marketing just becomes confusing at this point.
Yeah, it's just too much. So I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know if we're going to see X299 boards that are made for mainstream that only have the dual channel and certain... Like, I don't know. We don't know yet. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, the information's there. Read and take away what
you want. Talking about that, the first benchmarks have surfaced for the Core i9. And this is the 10-core and the 12-core parts have been benchmarked. And the 10-core part was running at 3.1 gigahertz base frequency, no turbo listed. And the 12-core was running at 2.9 gigahertz base and 3.5 gigahertz turbo. So these don't seem like they're the right speeds.
The engineering sample downclock part.
Yeah, so we're not specifically sure, but they're there, which means they're in the wild, which means that this is
something.
Not,
yeah, something is out there.
It's coming very soon. And then that will move us to our X299 leaks this week. And MSI has teased two boards. The one looks insane. So MSI is their super high end desktop board. Has for the past couple years has been their godlike board. That's like their awesome super high end board. This they've teased what appears to be is going to be their X299 godlike, and the picture that's shown is just the rear IO. That's it, but it does say godlike, and we see the cover over the rear IO, and there's some interesting things to see. The first thing that caught my attention was we have triple Ethernet ports. Which I don't understand.
Redundancy.
That's why you have two. Like, I don't know what Apple...
It's triple redundant.
I don't know what application you're using. That you're going to need
Bob,
three.
This is for... you can triple your download speeds.
No, that's not the way this works? No, that's not the way this
works.
You could probably make a video on YouTube and tell people that's how it works. And, like, they would think that it's...
Oh, yeah. 100% you could.
Yeah. There was that video of that kid that's like, here's how you put a headphone jack on the new iPhone. And he like drilled through it. And like people were like, I did this and I broke my phone. I'm like, because you're an idiot. So they have a... the biggest thing with this picture is they talk about their USB 3.1. And this new board is going to feature their new ASMedia 3142 controller, USB 3.1 controller. It is 50% lower power consumption, and it will give you a single and dual device performance boost. I haven't really researched that controller, but I guess it's a good thing.
They seem to think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. also, on the picture, you have dual Wi-Fi antennas, and these are interesting because these are like connected to the board. They're not like a dongle. I hate those dongles.
They are screw-on, though, obviously.
Yeah, these are screw-on. And this should give you 802.11ac Wi-Fi, which would be nice.
Yeah. Although anybody that's a real gamer is not going to use those anyways.
Correct. But you have the three Ethernet ports.
So really, you've got four internet connections here, right?
Yeah. And I assume that the Type-C port that's being used for USB 3.1 is Thunderbolt 3. This is like the godlike board, so I would assume
it's,
it is.
It's got to be Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah, right? And this is like the one of their most highest spec out boards there. So we got this leak of this board. And then they also leaked the X299 Gaming Pro, which is a mid-range board. And the only thing here is we got another shot of the rear IO, but from a different direction. And this shows us your...
Just the shield, essentially.
It shows you the shield. We get a slight shot of the socket.
Yeah.
And we have four DDR4 slots on one side, which means we'll have four DDR4 slots on the other side.
I guess we can also see that you have 8-pin plus 4-pin.
Yeah, which is weird on this type of board because this is like their mid-range board. You typically don't see that. That in itself lends you to believe that the higher end parts, the Core i9s, will use even more power, or will need more power, possibly,
or are capable of drawing more power.
Yes, again, this is where it gets confusing because, you know, mid range. Why do I need the 4 DDR4 or the 8 DDR4 slots if I'm getting a 7740? Like, I just don't like it. I'm not this, like, now that I really thought it out, I just don't like it.
Dude, you're definitely going to have a lot of really mad kids that buy 8-channel kits or 2 4-channel kits.
Yeah.
And they're only using half.
And, like, I know a lot of you guys are, like, thinking, like, who would do that? But, like, I've helped so many people build PCs over the years. And like, it's just like if you ask me to fix a car because I know nothing about cars, like... You know,
yeah. If it can be done wrong, it has been done wrong.
Yeah, you know, but it's good to see that we're seeing these teases, which means it's close. A lot of people are saying we're going to get it all at Computex, which I assume we'll get so many X299 boards at Computex, and because we're seeing these renders, they're pretty much all designed, I would say. And,
I don't think these are renders from MSI. I think these are actual photos.
Well, if they're the actual photos, then the boards are done.
Yeah,
because nothing that I see here looks like it's half completed board.
Nope. I honestly, I really don't think this is a render.
Yeah. So yeah,
I like the carbon. Do you like the carbon fiber on the IO shield?
No.
No.
I didn't like that on the previous series either. No. Nope. Mm-hmm. Not a fan. Not a fan of like the X. What is it? The Z270 Pro Gaming carbon or whatever the hell it's called. Yeah. I just don't like the carbon deal. All
right.
Not my thing. If you like it, though, I mean, if that's your thing, you like it, but it's just not mine.
I'll be okay.
So, yeah. And then finally, EK has released a new gaming series kit. So this is their... these are great. We've talked about kits like this in the past. We reviewed some, the one from Thermaltake. And this is a water cooling kit, do-yourself water cooling kit. It's a starter kit that gives you everything you need to do your own custom loop. So I know we talked about this before, and is that... If you want to get into, you know, do it yourself water cooling, you don't know what to buy, you're not sure what all you need, and this is a kit that gives you everything.
Yeah. They have multiple series of these kits, though.
Yeah, so this is their gaming kit, obviously target towards gamers, and it gives you a radiator, the fans for the radiator, CPU block, it gives you a bay reservoir, which is cool.
Dual bay.
Dual bay reservoir, so... of course, a lot of cases these days don't have the 500.
Which, yeah, that was about to mention.
Yeah, now that I think about it. But it is cool because as gamers, you want to show off your rig, so that's like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this was totally cool in like 2008, 2010. Yeah.
But, and then it gives you the fittings, the tubing, and the coolant, right?
I'm sure. Well, probably. They usually do include coolant because they don't want you putting something stupid in it.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's cool that, you know, say I want to do my first custom loop. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know what all I need to buy, how many fittings I need to buy. Like, what, you know, this gives you everything.
Six. The answer is six.
Why do you need six?
Fittings.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. It is a problem, isn't it? I thought it was a joke.
You need two for the block, two for the radiator.
Yeah.
Two for the res. Okay. I tell you about. See?
Oh, man. See? Yeah. There is a place for this sort of thing.
But they're offering these in 240, 280, and in 360, the size of the radiators. So that's the only difference in the kits.
Yeah. The thing that I like is that it's a Supremacy block, which is one of the best performing blocks of all time. It's a D5 pump, which same thing. It's one of the best performing pumps of all time. It's going to last you a really long time and pushes out a lot of water pressure. And the rest is just kind of superfluous. The radiator is fine. The fans actually kind of suck, but
yeah, I think it's a good thing to get you going, and this is like a kit that teaches you how to do water cooling, basically.
Yeah, I just think that it's weird that what is gaming about it though, other than a different box? What is different from this and their other kits necessarily?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Different radiator, but I don't know. Possibly a different radiator, but I don't know where that would. I don't know.
Factor in, yeah. I think
I'm not feeling the marketing. I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like I don't know. I don't like the colors of the marketing either. It is kind of weird that it is a bay res, right?
That's really, I mean, not everybody wants a tube res. That it, the bay res is the easiest thing to start with, right, as your first reservoir. But if you don't have a dual bay res,
I mean,
a dual
if you look bay, at, if you look at so many of the cases that
they
have
just
come
don't
out
have it.
In the past, especially like the bare, like the NZXTs, the Corsair cases, like so many of those don't have 5 1/4 inch drive bays anymore.
Anything that you would call modern design does not have a 5 1/4 inch drive bay.
Yeah, so that's a little weird. But they are there, and it's good that these high-end companies like EK make stuff for beginners. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. So cool.
The first real actual water cooling I did was with a kit. There's no better way to do it. You know, you have everything.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. So that is news this week. As we said, lots of AMD stuff. As we get closer to Computex, So next week is Memorial Day weekend, and then that week is Computex week. So like the 30th, 31st, 1st, 2nd. Oh man, it's gonna be a busy week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of stuff that week. So
get your typing fingers ready.
Yeah, that's always a crazy week. Yeah, it's just like all day, all night. So that brings us to what we have coming next week as far as reviews. Three pretty cool products. So the first one is Noctua's NHD15SE AM4. Basically, Noctua made custom versions of their high-end coolers for AM4, and this is the highest one. This is their NHD15. I just finished the review. It's just awesome. It performs better than AIO's, and it's quieter, and it's easier to install, in my opinion. So,
it is bigger, though.
It is bigger, but it's still, being bigger, it's easier to install.
You think?
Yes.
But then it takes up all that space in your case, messes up the airflow.
Yeah. So it performs better, though. It gives you better performance.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so I have that, and then I have a keyboard from ASIO, and it's their Armato gaming keyboard, which you got to take a look at really quickly at CES. It's pretty cool. Cherry MX keys, really solid design. It's cool.
The volume knob does it for me.
You liked that last time when we were at CES, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. Backlit keyboard, all that kind of stuff. I will have that for you this week. And we talked about it. You know, if these gaming chairs, if there's a difference between them. You know, because I reviewed the Tessera one, and now I have the Ewin Champion Series ergonomic gaming chair, and I definitely have to say there's a difference, 100%.
Interesting. Should I have heard of Ewin?
They contacted us, so they're not like one of these big companies.
Okay.
But there is a difference, and
we'll find out.
Yeah, you'll find out. Not only in comfort, but build quality as well.
Build quality is probably the number one thing I would expect to change.
Yeah, so just you'll see in the review. But I'm sitting in it now. It is comfortable, but it's okay. Yeah, it's, you'll see. Again,
there's levels to this stuff.
Yeah, there's levels for sure. So we'll have that for you. It's Monday, so this week.
Cool.
So we'll have this stuff. So yeah, that is what's coming this upcoming week. And guys, as I always say, we have our full show notes page. So everything that we talked about today, we will have. So as we talk about it, you can click through and get all of the details. And in your favorite podcasting programs, websites, applications, whatever it may be, just Think Computers, all one word, and we'll come right up. Definitely subscribe. Until next week, guys. Catch you guys later.